This is the Business Building Blocks Podcast.
My name is Wazir.
And my name is John Muhammad.
Absolutely. Welcome back. This is episode
59.
Episode 59. We back in action, y'all. I had to make sure I came home from the road. You know, my new business now is out here hauling these loads.
That's right.
And I came back in the city and I hit up the co-host and you were ready for another episode. You had a topic that was weighing on you.
Right, and that topic is the government has failed us. What now?
Absolutely, the government. Because you see everybody talking about it like, oh, it's inflation. There are no jobs.
Right.
Immigration. The government is not supporting us. Now, we know all these things.
Right.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about how we got here
mm-hmm.
and what are we going to do next. Because this isn't a show where we just talk about the problem. We like to talk about solutions.
That's right.
We are solution oriented.
And it's things that we can do in order to solve our own problems, to address our own problems, and not just waiting for Big Brother to solve our own, to solve problems for us, to save us. We're waiting for a great savior to save us. But let's look at it historically, this government. You know, on the Business Building Block podcast, we all about establishing businesses and building up our community. But in that frame of perspective, we have to accept responsibility. Now, the government may have neglected us, and let's see historically how has the U.S. government neglected our community. And we look at the history of America, the founding of America, which was made up of immigrants from Europe. Now, there were people already here when Columbus sailed to America. There were people already here. It was a populated continent. Okay.
So you're telling me Christopher Columbus didn't discover some empty land is what you're
telling me. Right. Yeah. There was a civilization here. So there were people here, there was civilization here, but in their eyes, the people didn't count. You know, they considered the people as savages. Matter of fact, Christopher Columbus was lost and he was trying to find a way to the east by going west. And when I say east, I'm talking about India and Asia. In order for him to do trade because of the Crusades, which the Christians had a war, the Christians in Europe had a war with the Muslims in the Middle East, and the Muslims had blocked their trade routes to India and Asia. So they had to go all the way around Africa, down to southern Africa, the Cape Coast of Africa, and then back up to India, which is what's happening now if you look at the situation in the Red Sea with Yemen. The nation of Yemen is blockading the Red Sea that's causing trade to be diverted the way it did at the time Christopher Columbus was commissioned to America.
I want to zone in on that a little bit because it sounds like what you're telling me when you mentioned trade, it was an economic voyage that Christopher Columbus was on. I don't know if people even know that.
Right.
Some people are probably just thinking, oh, they were just going to explore. But this is because they're trying to do trade with India. Because
right.
at that time, salt and spices was a very high commodity.
That's right.
So it would be like going to get diamonds or gold or something.
Mm-hmm.
But in this time, it was for money, basically.
That's right.
They're trying to make money.
Every civilization, the economy is built off of trade.
Right.
And in that situation, they were strangling them by blocking the blockade.
Right.
So when Christopher Columbus sailed to America, the new world was new opportunity, new resources, and again, trade. And the trade came in the transatlantic slave trade. Now, we know that the people that was here, they were colonized. They were they committed genocide against the native people, taking their land and their resources. But the labor here came from Africa. The African slaves were used for labor. But we were not only, according to the Constitution, U.S. Constitution, we were not only chattel slavery, we was not only like a beast, but we was an asset and we was labor. So they owned us like you would do an animal, but they also worked us. So we were their engine that the agricultural products were produced by. And they didn't pay us. I mean, they got 300 years of free labor.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And in capitalism, this was the basis of the economic system. And we always talk about democracy, but that's a political system. The economic system is capitalism. And the capitalism is based on exploitation. The people that was exploited, of course, were the Native Americans, because their land was captured and seized, and all of the resources thereof, as well as our labor, was they capitalized off of our labor because of the farm products, tobacco, sugarcane, and they made rum from sugarcane. And we talk about tobacco, also cotton. Cotton was king in the South.
Cash crop. So I want to talk about, as we connect it to today, this is, we're talking about the origins of this, because you mentioned capitalism, and that's our economic system that we have now. Right. So from the inception, it was based on exploitation.
Right.
So they had the free labor, mm-hmm. enforced by violence and kidnapping. They had the free land that they took from the Native Americans. So from the inception, they were getting a head start coming out of Europe by just starting this land. So who were the people? Because a lot of people right now talk about immigration. These people were considered immigrants. That's the foundation of this country, right?
Yeah, the narrative that we're being given is that the America, the colonies was populated by religious pilgrims, mm-hmm. you know, the so-called pilgrims. They was fleeing religious persecution. They wanted religious freedom. And that's the narrative that we've been given, that these were some kind of holy people. Now, let's see what reality paints a picture of. What's the reality? The reality is that Europe was crowded, overcrowded, and their slums were filled with the prisoners and the poor of Europe. So they were in a caste system. The landowners, the royal class owned the land. You know, the kings and the
it was called a commonwealth, I believe.
The commonwealth.
Yeah.
The feudal system.
The feudal system. Yeah.
Where they had princes and nobles. The upper class, they owned the land, but the peasants were landless. They worked the land, but they was a caste. They was in that caste for life. So in order to free them from that economic deprivation, the new world was a great opportunity. That's why they would take that risk to come to a new land that was inhabited by savages. And so they came and they were able to better themselves by coming to this new land and expand. Because actually, Great Britain is a small landmass. It's in a frigid area. You know, they're in the north and it's cold. They can't do much agriculture. But in America, it was a more suitable for agriculture. And they was able to produce all of these crops that we talked about. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the Atlantic slave trade, they traded human beings from Africa with America. Then they produced the crops, the tobacco, the sugar cane, and the cotton, and other farm crops. And then they would trade with Europe. And in Europe, they had guns, they had manufactured goods, and they would trade back to Africa. Also, horses, they traded horses in Africa also, horses and guns and whatever trinkets they got from Europe, and they traded for human beings. So they call that the transatlantic slave trade. So that's the history of America. Now, America's not doing so well now, but let's go back to the Civil War. We wanted to talk about how the government has failed us, and we are descendants of slaves.
And when you talk about, I notice when they talk about the Civil War, they always want to focus on what they call states' rights.
No,
it wasn't about slavery. It was about the rights for states to choose and create their own laws. But you have to ask the question, what law?
Right.
What would make the South secede from the country and go to war, willing to kill and die. You know, they had their own armies. They created their own flag and everything. Based off what? What was it, a defining law that they want to decide on their own? And we know
it was slavery. But not only was that the motive for the Civil War, but that also was the motive, the reason behind the Revolutionary War with England, Great Britain. Great Britain had outlawed slavery. So the colonists, the 13 colonies, wanted to continue slavery. So a lot of the blacks fought on the side of the British, on the Redcoats, in the Revolutionary War. So they said it was about tea, but really it was about slavery.
They said it was about taxation without representation.
Right. But they wanted to continue to practice slavery when Great Britain had outlawed slavery. Again, the Civil War. The problem arose between the interests of the North, and which became the Union, the blue states, and the South, the Confederates. They wanted to continue the institution of slavery. And the North wanted to abolish slavery because they wanted low-wage workers to work in the factories in the North.
And I can see why the South, if that's the cornerstone of their economy, they did not want to give up slavery. They're like, we're making so much money. And if you think about it, that was probably making, I didn't even realize that about, that was part of the Revolutionary War. Because if you think economically and militarily, of course Britain don't want America having all this free labor and economic boom that they having, because they becoming more powerful than Great Britain and England.
That's right.
They can cut off their economic power, which was slavery at that time, and all these cash crops that they producing because they have more land, they have more a better ecosystem to produce tobacco and all of this stuff that they shipping all over the world.
Right.
It was probably strategic for them to also be like, let's cut that off because they're thinking they're their own country now.
Yeah, and we talk about the colonies. They were colonies of Great Britain. Right. They were not independent. Mm-hmm. It was the Revolutionary War that made them independent. So when we talk about separatist movements, then they had a separatist movement. Give me liberty or give me death. That was the cry for the Revolutionary War. So they was getting liberty from Great Britain. So they got their freedom, but they didn't give you and me freedom. Our people was doomed to slavery, condemned to slavery, while they was getting their so-called freedom and the right to pursuit of happiness from Great Britain.
All men are created equal, except y'all.
and then, like we talked about the Constitution, we was considered 3/5 of a human being. The slaves were considered 3/5 of a human being in the Constitution. So we always talk about the intent of the Founding Fathers. Well, the Founding Fathers were slaveholders, and they said we were 3/5 of a human being. We was like beasts of the field, you know. They owned us. So now it leads up to the Civil War. And what did the U.S. government do during the Civil War? At the same time, according to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, that at the same time that America was depriving blacks of land, because we were freed from the Emancipation Proclamation that was done in 1863, but it was enforced down in Texas and Galveston. We didn't get the news until 1865. That's where we get Juneteenth from. June 19th, 1865 is when the slaves were free in Galveston, because the Union troops had to come down and enforce emancipation law after the Confederate lost the Civil War. But in 1862, the U.S. Congress passed the Homestead Act.
Now, what was the Homestead Act?
The Homestead Act gave millions of acres of land to recent immigrants from Europe in the West and Midwest. And at the same time, according to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, that they deprived us of the so-called 40 acres and a mule.
Right, right.
So we didn't get any economic base, but the European immigrants was given an economic base.
Yeah, you should pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Why?
Right.
Why are you worrying about free land? Why?
But they getting free land that it was, and then we want to compare this colonialism to what's happening in the Middle East right now in Israel. The Great Britain and America and others established this Jewish state in Palestine and took the land from the Palestinians and gave it to the Jewish settlers that came from Germany. Now, you would think that the reparations, Germany should have paid reparations because Hitler is the one that is responsible for the Holocaust. But then they take the land from the Palestinians that had nothing to do with the Holocaust. But those people are suffering just like we suffered. In America, there's a parallel here. We were deprived of land. So the land was given to the colonists. The white Europeans, they got the economic base. Just like in Europe, they got the land in the Holy Land in Palestine.
Yeah, that almost that doesn't make any sense, because if Germany is the one who did it to them, why not take a piece of Germany and give it back to them? That's where they came from.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's where they came from. Let's get back to the America.
And I want to say, when you talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, a lot of people thank Abraham Lincoln, of course. Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. But I don't want it to get lost that he didn't necessarily want a free.
No.
He did it as a military act. You know what I mean?
That was a military tactic,
yeah,
in order to weaken the South, because the South economy was based on slavery.
And he said, if I could keep slaves and keep the Union, we'd right. keep them enslaved. But he said to bring the Union back, he would.
Yeah, he wanted, his objective was to preserve the Union.
Right, right.
Not to free us. Matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln was in favor of a separate colony for blacks. He wanted to repatriate blacks back to Africa. And, you know, that's how the nation of Liberia was established, for this back to Africa movement. And a lot of the Garveyites, Marcus Garvey, had the largest mass movement of blacks in America. And his movement was around the world, the largest black mass movement of blacks being repatriated to Africa.
Right.
That was his goal. Africa for blacks at home and abroad. Well, Abraham Lincoln and other presidents of the United States wanted to have a separate state or territory for blacks because of the blacks and whites couldn't live together. Of course, the Civil War, they had a bloody Civil War. Well, more people died in the Civil War than any other war because you got Americans fighting Americans. And to compare that to what's going on now, with this political animosity between the Democrats or the liberals and the Republicans or the conservatives today, parallels what happened in the Civil War of 1863, where today you got the red states and the blue states. And candidate President Trump recently said in Ohio that if he is not reelected, there will be it'll be a bloody America, you know, bloodshed throughout America. So we know from January 6th what happened,
right,
with the attack on the Capitol, then what is potentially in store for America is civil unrest. So it's history repeating itself.
They established the country. Okay. We went through slavery. We got freed. Now, they didn't give us the land. They didn't give us the reparations. But we actually managed to build cities during that time. Like our own towns. We started progressing. We started being industrious. We were being successful. And we had all these different Wall Streets and all. So what happened to all of this work we were doing at that time? They came and burned it down.
Yeah, and we know about Black Wall Street, Greenwood, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
The Greenwood District. But also there was over 60 towns throughout America where blacks established their own towns. And we were separate from the whites during segregation and during Jim Crow. But the Jim Crow laws, again, the government, these were laws implemented to discriminate against blacks, laws that passed. And they were able to oppress us economically and force us into poverty.
Because a lot of people like to think about it as, oh, it's just hatred. They hate us. But you want to understand that if we have our own businesses, we're no longer working for them for free anymore.
Right.
And our stuff tends to be a little bit like influential people coming to our side of town spending money. Right. So then we become a threat economically, not just right. they hate us. They don't want to see us happy and all that. They even most of the tropes and stereotypes where they made fun of us was to stop us from doing business, was to stop us from loving ourselves, because then we would support ourselves, and then we may become what they are. Because right. we built their world, what could we do for ourselves?
That's right. If you look at us, if we had our own land and our own businesses, we can live off the land and we can trade among ourselves, and the dollar would circulate among us. And that's what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We became prosperous. It was black and Indian, because that was Indian territory. You remember the Indians was relocated to Oklahoma. So they had reservations. And so on those reservations, you don't have to pay taxes to the U.S. government. So if we had our sovereign territory and we was able to do business and do trade and we grow our own food, then we don't have to be consumers for white businesses and white industry, and we don't have to be labor for white industry. So they depended on our labor and they depend on our consumerism. So there's power in our consumption, and it's called power in our labor. So we have to recognize that. So whenever we go into business, we're competing in the marketplace. So they benefit off of their hatred. If their hatred produce laws and institutions that keep us segregated, and there's a difference between separation and segregated. Segregated ghetto is a colony that they control. They control the economics and politics. Oftentimes we renting. So who are our landlords? You know, they're able to exploit us. And they raise the rent, and you see what's happening with the food prices.
Going up crazy. I was talking to you the other day where I couldn't find a drink in the, you know, in the convenience store that wasn't almost $4 for like 20 ounces, when a few years ago that would be like $1.50, $1.75, and even before that, 99 cents. But it's not looking like that right now. We're seeing inflation and shrinkflation where they're charging the same amount for less product. And you could just see the writing on the wall. They're trying to extract as much money from us as possible right now. And it's not, and to the people that are probably hearing this, like, oh, that's just black people complaining about. See, I'm hearing a lot of people of white people, all the different races that usually didn't feel this kind of stuff. Now they're feeling it, and they're sounding like us now. Oh, the government is coming against us. They're not supporting us. They forcing us into medical interventions, and they forcing us to, you know what I mean? We're all starting to feel the effects of this because, like you said, this is more evidence to capitalism being based on a certain exploitation of a certain base. That's why we in the ghettos, because they want to have a base that they can keep in a perpetual lower class to extract money.
Now, to talk about slavery, slavery really never ended. It just changed forms. After slavery, we know that the blacks were being exploited. But now we're looking at the wage worker. The workers in America is being exploited by the corporations and the rich. And that's all races are being exploited. And all they have to do is control the wages. So they keep us in debt and they keep us in perpetual poverty. But also the currency. In 1914, when the Federal Reserve was established and it was a privately owned institution, now they put the whole nation in debt through the Federal Reserve. And Federal Reserve is privately owned. But now the American people are as enslaved by the currency. And the government fight these wars and borrow money and they borrow from the Federal Reserve, they got to pay them back. And now the nation is trillions of dollars in debt, which is making the currency collapse. The currency is no longer backed by gold. And President Kennedy tried to put the dollar back on the gold standard.
What happened to him?
And he was assassinated.
Yeah.
And the first thing happened by his replacement was to sign the law of the Federal Reserve making it back this system that we have now, where it's not backed by gold and is only backed by the confidence of the people in the American government.
Yeah, and it's like almost a threat too. It's like a military threat around the world that they force a lot of interactions to be done with the American dollar to prop up its value.
Right.
And, but you notice that Kennedy was assassinated. Also, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated.
True.
Because he created the greenbacks.
That's right.
So he, anytime somebody deal with the currency is very right. serious, they'll take you out. Because what's really going on, why are we seeing these different movements and these different wars, a lot of this is based off the money. If you people always say that, follow the money and you'll figure out what's really going on.
And the geopolitical things is going on right now. We're talking about war. Look at BRICS. BRICS is challenging the dollar, the BRICS nations. And they BRICS are establishing their own currency.
And what's that? Brazil.
Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The BRICS nations. And other nations are joining that block. And there's a competition in America between Western nations and Russia and the BRICS nations on who gonna have the most influence in Africa. We know that the U.S. has interest there. They have established military bases throughout Africa. But China has interest there. Russia have interest there. India have interest there. And you notice they all in the BRICS alliance, of course, South Africa. And now we understand Nigeria wants to become a part of BRICS. And Nigeria is the largest African population, population-wise, and they have all. So we know that America and Great Britain have worked with Saudi Arabia to back the oil to trade oil in dollars. But now...
American dollars.
Now they're going to challenge that. And these oil-producing nations are joining with BRICS.
And worst case scenario means, well, not even worst case, the probable result of this is the American dollar is falling, crashing.
That's right.
Meaning that we gonna be like Venezuela where they paying.
Right. That's what's happening. When you see the prices of food going up, that's inflation.
Because the dollar can't buy what it used to be able to buy.
That's right. And they not being honest. The government has failed us because they're not being honest with the American people. And before we run out of time,
say that again. Oh yeah, I think it's a good time right now. Pay some bills.
That's right. We need to talk about sponsorship. Now, our platinum sponsor is Nation Products. Nation Products has been our platinum sponsor since the inception of the Business Building Blocks podcast. And I want to go right into it. There has been some new releases and Chemistry for Children. You can get it at nationproducts.com. We want to introduce science to our children because oftentimes we're told that our children are deficient in their test scores in public school system and that we don't score well in science and mathematics. But it's our responsibility to start introducing science and math to our children at home. So build your library at home with Physics for Children. And according also with that series, we have Chemistry for Children, where you can introduce chemistry to our children. At a tender age, before they reach high school, they'll be familiar with the subject. And another new addition is the Holy Quran Word Search Book. This book was written by Nadine Muhammad, and we're in the time of Ramadan right now, and it's a great way to get our children engaged and for ourselves. You have puzzles in here that's based on surahs, chapters in the Holy Quran. So you can locate this at, this product at nationproducts.com, and you can get some adult books as well. I like to talk about Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki and learn more about economics. And the one thing he talks about is income generating assets. You know, we want to buy a home, buy a car, and that type of thing. But those are liabilities if you're not making money for it. But if you bought real estate and you rented it out, now you're getting that those rents in. Now it's generating income. So let's build wealth by acquiring income-generating assets. Get this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, at nationproducts.com. And we always talk about building nations, building our community, and accepting responsibility for ourselves. And we talk about the gross national product of a nation, which is going to be construction. This is Construction Project Management by Allison Dykstra. Go ahead and get this title at nationproducts.com. And we got many other titles. As a public service announcement, we like to talk about the Final Call newspaper. That's finalcall.com. Again, we're on Ramadan this month. And this issue talks about refuge, renewal, and recommitting. And there's articles throughout the newspaper that affects our community. So this is a national and international periodical. Get the Final Call newspaper and be informed as news that relate to our community. Very powerful. And also we like to talk about the economic blueprint. Now, we talked about these problems that's happening with the government failing us. What is it that we can unite and do for ourselves? Self-help. Like Booker T. Washington say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. What is it that we could do? And what we could do is we could support a fund that was established by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to eliminate poverty and want. And we're going to do that by purchasing 100 million acres of farmland. And this land will be used as an economic base. You see how the government did not give us any land, the 40 acres and the mule? Well, we can begin to give that to ourselves by pooling our resources. And we're only talking about a nickel a day. And it's 40 to 50 million of us. And if we unite with our Hispanic brothers and sisters, our Native American brothers and sisters, and those who are like-minded, then we can easily get 100 million people to give a nickel a day. And that's only $18.20 a year. Just bump it up to $20. Send in $20 to economicblueprint.org. That's economicblueprint.org, and let us begin to address our own economic situation and condition. And another thing about farming, we talked about feeding ourselves. Well, in 1995, I believe, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan repurchased Muhammad Farms in Georgia. That's a 1,600-acre farm that we own now. We're under cultivation. We don't have to wait till we get to 100 million. We can start with the 16. We have started with the 1,600 acres. And that farm is producing staple goods. You know, we need navy beans. We need rice. We need things that's going to get us through a day of want in case of natural disaster or civil unrest. We're going to need food. We're going to need to begin to feed ourselves and in order to survive. Now, this program has started under Muhammad Farms. There's the Nation of Islam Ministry of Agriculture. There is a staple goods program. And the next order for staple goods began April 21st, 2024. Staple goods 25. You can go to NOIMOA.org. That's NOIMOA.org. That stands for Nation of Islam Ministry of Agriculture. And you can order the produce. And go to the website, look at all the different farm products that's produced on this collective, this farm collective. And that's good. That's it for our special service announcements and also our sponsorships.
Absolutely. Got to pay those bills. So we left off, we were talking about, we went through the inception of America. We talked about slavery, the free labor. We talked about the Civil War when we wanted to remove that. We talked about Jim Crow, the laws that was holding us down economically. And then we all went up to JFK, going off the gold standard. And we're looking at right now, a lot of people are feeling like there's not a lot of opportunity. And it's the cost of living is entirely too high for most people. You either a billionaire right now or you're struggling. It's no in between. So basically what we're saying in the title of this episode, the government has failed us, right?
Right.
What next? What are some things that we could be doing right now to regain some power, some independence, and put our own future, our own economic future in our hands? What should we be doing? How should we be looking at this and considering our moves in this year and the next coming up?
Now, what's critical about the colonialism is that they wanted land. These wars were fought over land, territory. So just like, look at the undoing of the Native American. Their land was taken, and they was placed on reservations that had poor, that was like desert land. And America took the more fertile land, and they used it for farming because it can produce crops. So what is it that we should be doing? And reparations, we should be fighting for reparations. But that reparations should not just be money. It should include land. Now, when they established the NAACP, Federal Reserve, they also established the NAACP. But the NAACP motto was non-economic liberalism. That means they'll get you to fight for social rights or civil rights, but not economic rights, because they never did give us, they never did redistribute the wealth after slavery. We never got any land. So we can't build wealth. Only thing we can do is trade our labor for money. And then every generation have to go back to the same people for jobs. So in order for us to create our own jobs, we have to own land. We have to own the building. We have to own the real estate. And then we become the landlord, you know?
Right.
And those are the things, some of the objectives that we should have. Now, as an individual, it's going to be kind of difficult for us to acquire the resources that we need. But collectively, we can do it. And I believe that the Muhammad Economic Blueprint is a plan and a solution. Minister Farrakhan has established this fund, the Economic Blueprint, where as little as 5 cents a day. And we see that the currency is collapsing. The dollar is collapsing. And is inflation is causing us to be able to purchase less and less. So while the dollar still have a little value, let's pool it to get some real estate, some land, producing land. And what is it that we can produce from the land? Of course, food. But we can raise livestock. We can also cut down the trees, the timber, and we can use that lumber to build houses. We can use the clay to make brick, like Booker T. Washington did in Tuskegee. When he established the Tuskegee Institute, they made bricks. And throughout Alabama, they raised the living condition of everyone that lived in Alabama, black as well as whites, because of the masonry trade. So if we do that today, we get the land, all of the resources that's in the land. And we talked about farm produce, but also up under the land, you got minerals. You got water, fresh drinking water. You got oil. In Texas, we know about oil. You know?
Yeah, they fracking and getting all the oil.
But all of the minerals, gold, diamonds, all the ore that's up under the ground, we have access to that when we own the land. And we must own the mineral rights. So those are some of the objectives that we should have. And then we should not be afraid to become entrepreneurs, business owners. We got to become the boss. I like Rick Ross' motto, Rick Ross the boss. You know, we want to accept the responsibility of leadership and build businesses and institutions that serve our needs. So I think that's what we ought to be doing.
Yeah, because we can't rely on them anymore, and we never could. That's what we're painting. This isn't a new thing. This is something that, this is really an opportunity for us now that, because a lot of times you won't move forward unless you push forward. You know, sometimes we're afraid to do it, but now we don't have a choice. There's nothing there for us. They don't care about us in these large corporations that are really controlling the country. You know, it's really private interest that's driving this into the ground right now. So we need to take it upon ourselves to do something for ourselves and become owners and control our own life. Like you're saying, get the land.
That's right.
It's funny because we live in modern times and we're looking at our phones, we're looking up at the government when the land is looking back at us. Like
it's under our feet.
It's right here.
We're looking for a great savior, but the way the government gets its resources is by taxing the people. So we can make a sacrifice and tax ourselves for freedom. Freedom is not free. Like we talked about the colonialists, the 13 colonists, they said freedom or death from Great Britain. So we got to be willing to pay a price. We have to fight and strive for what we want. And we got to be willing to pay the price for it. And all we have to do now is pool our resources and start working in our best interest. I'm not saying that we should have to fight anyone. We just need to stop fighting each other. We need to fall in love with ourselves, stop competing with each other by having envy and jealousy of one another. Let's, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, our greatest weapon is our unity. It's more powerful than an atomic or nuclear bomb. And that's us uniting and start cooperating with one another. Start patronizing one another, supporting one another's business ventures. Now, we are very successful in the social media era as influencers. And we successful in entertainment and sports. Let's redirect some of that money back into our community. Let's use our influence to promote products that we own, not just be brand ambassadors to other corporations, but let us be brand ambassadors of brands that we own, that we have a stake in. And I think that's one of the reasons Jay-Z is so successful. He has partnerships. He's just not just a glorified mannequin in the window advertising somebody else's product. He has a partnership deal with these brands.
Equity.
And that's what we should continue to do. And if we see one of our brothers and sisters striving to put a product on the market, we need to get behind it. And what's good for your brother or sister is good for ourselves. Like half our bowl of soup is for our brother. And that's how we're going to survive these trying times of economic fall of American economy and also the civil unrest and the international wars. The War of Armageddon seems to have started where all of the nations are choosing sides with this Gaza incident. But also wars are going on in the Congo and the Sudan and other areas around the world. It's affecting the world economy. It's affecting trade. So if we're going to survive, we need to start getting involved in economic development, getting involved in international trade, and protecting our own interests.
So we wouldn't have to fire a shot. We just got to unite with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's fire the shot of unity.
Yeah.
And love. You know, there's been a lot of talk about hate. You know, seems like we have been the victim of hate. We were the ones that was enslaved. We are the ones that the KKK lynched. You see, we was the result. You see the brutality that we went through just trying to integrate during the civil rights movement. So someone hated us. So why should we hate each other?
Yeah.
And fill up the prisons by committing crimes, what we call black on black crime. Why don't we have black on black love and black on black support? You know, that's the solution.
Keeping the dollars circulating within our community. Yeah, because I hand you my dollar, you hand it right back.
Right.
We both got, it's like the, what is it called? Where you trade in goods and services. Before we had money, the barter system. Yeah,
man.
The barter system. We about to have to go into stuff like that, because once these dollars ain't worth anything anyway, we going to be trading services and actual raw goods back and forth to each other. Like, oh, you know how to build a house? I'll give you one of my goats if you help me build this house. You know what I mean? We're going to be helping each other in that way. Or we can, you got the flour. Oh, we got the water. Let's bring it together. Let's make some dough. You know what I mean?
That's so right.
We're going to have to lean on each other.
We got to make our own bread.
Yeah.
You know, we got to have our own milk. You know, the land of milk and honey, when they talk about heaven or the hereafter.
Sound like land is involved with a lot of dreams.
It's a land of milk and honey, and then the streets are paved with gold. But milk comes from cows, and bees make honey. And bees take the nectar of flowers, so there must be land in heaven in order for you. You're going to have some gold. You're going to be sitting on raised couches, and it's going to be, in terms of Islam, is rivers, flowing in rivers, and we eating all these fruit. We think about eating grapes for some reason in heaven. We eating these grapes, and we got this wine. But all of that comes from land. So we can make our own heaven here on earth.
So that should be on everybody's to-do list. Start looking at ways to acquire land. I know that's on my vision board right now. I'm looking at, I even sent you a link. You was like, man, you thinking about land like this?
When
I sent you that, I sent them a link of some land I'm trying to get in. We really moving out on this, because we have to, it's not only a suggestion, it's actually imperative to our survival to get some land and to get some resources. People need to be stocking up on food. People need to be stocking up on water, because it's really about to.
Yeah.
This feeling, I was saying earlier, this is starting to feel like the last election. You were talking about what Trump said, and you looking at the, and you said a lot of the military is conservative.
Right.
So this may spill over into an internal war in America.
That's what's happening. If you listen to the political rhetoric, and the country is divided again on this Middle East question. Also, the country is divided on the immigration question and the immigrants that's coming from South America. Now, all of a sudden, the Native Americans, who are Mexicans and Central and Latin Americans, they Native Americans. And this country, Florida was controlled by Spain. In Mexico, and Texas was a part of Mexico. California was a part of Mexico. New Mexico was part of Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
All of this was, half of the United States was Mexico. So these people that you call an illegal are just coming back home. They were already, and some were already here.
Some never
left. And you demonizing them, calling them illegal, and they native to this land. But at the same time, Europeans came from Europe. They crossed the ocean to get here, and then you call them legal. You put up a Statue of Liberty welcoming European immigrants. But we came here as not immigrants. We came here in the holds of ships and chains. We was forced over here and made to work and deprived of our labor. We never got compensated.
And that's what they're using the immigration for right now, cheap labor.
Right.
It's the same playbook.
Same thing.
Coming up again. And they wonder why is this being allowed? That's why it's being allowed. These jobs that we trying to get from these government contracts or these different jobs, if you look at any job site, you see what they're doing. And they're being taken advantage of, because they're now paying them the way they should be paid. And not only the immigrants here, but people in other parts of the world, they've outsourced all the production. Nothing is made in America.
Right.
And you wonder why we can't get jobs here producing any of the things that we buy, because they're exploiting.
I don't know how you can go to war with China and Taiwan is involved in this war. And they making everything in Asia. We're not making anything, because those jobs is exported to cheap labor markets. Mm-hmm. So now we're not producing anything. And then you go to war with the people that are, so they're not going to do trade with you. So, you know, we're going to be left here, and we got to look at the natural disasters, the plagues of America. The weather is destroying the crops. And also in Texas, they had a fire up in the Panhandle area where over 1 million acres burned.
So that's been happening. A lot of the farmland has been catching on fire. I don't know if it's an accident. I don't know if it's on purpose. But also China has been buying a lot of our
farmland.
And Bill Gates. There's something going on. Why are they doing that? Why is this powerful nation of China? Why is Bill Gates, one of the most powerful people in the world, buying all this farmland?
Right.
We should be buying farmland. That should be a sign to us that there's about to be a famine.
That's right.
There's a famine coming.
And you know, with how they portray the farmer in Hollywood and movies,
slack jaw.
They brainwash us. Of course, we have an aversion to the farm because of slavery. But also, they portray the farm as being poor. But we just talked about the South became rich off of agriculture. And today, you can be rich off of agriculture. You can look at the food prices, know that somebody's making money. But the Beverly Hillbillies, they made us think that they was broke farmers living in the rural area. And all of a sudden, they came to Hollywood because of oil, and then they live in this lavish luxury life.
Yeah, I seen that. That's what changed when our economy went to the Industrial Revolution. Most people worked on farms in America. It was like what?
Agricultural society.
Yeah, that was like
economy.
And then it switched over to like only like a few, like 3% or some of people now are involved with agriculture. But none of us stop eating.
Yeah.
We all still eat food that comes from the farm, and we all complain about our health. We eating all of this bad food, and then we ended up spending that money on the medicine, and the medical industry is based on us not eating clean. If we want to solve all of these problems that we are dealing with, and so how many people go broke because of healthcare? How many people end up at the end of their life, they can't even support themselves because they got some disease that came from eating all of this poison processed food? If we had our own land, we could avoid that whole process just by eating the land that we grow ourselves.
That's right. And then we can grow the food organically. We talk about how the government has failed us, and you brought up the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry. But the Food and Drug Administration is supposed to be the agency that regulates the pharmaceutical industry and the agricultural industry. So, but they are approving these fast foods and processed foods that's causing cancer.
Monsanto's.
And it hurts me all the time to see these children in public schools being given hot chips as incentives, and the administration is giving them these bad junk foods and the sodas and that thing, the soda producing diabetes and that type of thing. So the processed food and the bad food is producing illnesses. Now the pharmaceutical companies capitalize off of the illnesses, and then they produce drugs that treat symptoms, but they don't tell you the root cause of your diabetes, you eat, and your obesity. And they continue to feed you this bad food, and the government is complicit because they allow it. And
yeah, they say during the COVID, where they were saying people that were overweight or dealing with diabetes were the ones that were dying, but they never did tell people to stop eating sugar. They never told people to start working out. You know what I mean? It was all about come get this shot that we have for you.
That's right.
Come get this. But we're not going to say nothing about this whole industry that's built off making people sick. They make it more addicting to make more money. It's like the dollar over the people at every stop. Like every step of the way, they care more about making money than the well-being of the citizens.
And they want to give you a jab.
Yeah.
You know, and they tell you it's free. But the American government is paying them. These pharmaceutical companies are not making these drugs for free. They're making the drugs, and they're doing the research, and they sell it, and the government pay for the research, and then they sell the drugs to the government, and the government give it to you for free. You paying for it. You just paying for it in the form of taxes and your failed health. You know, this misinformation campaign or this ad campaign that they go on the airways and they push these products on you. They can't patent organic foods, natural foods. They can only patent things that are unnatural. So their incentive is to make profits. So that's why the government is approving these things that are harmful to the American people, and the American people need to become more informed. And it's difficult to do when there's censorship. And now they're trying to ban TikTok and other social media. They're trying to control the message in social media. People like me and yourself just putting out the truth, more information that they concealing. But a lot of this information is readily available on their website. You can just go to their website and you'll get the research, but you have to seek it, because what you're going to be flooded with is propaganda.
Yes, you have to be very diligent. That's what we want to tell the people listening. Do your own research. We're not just up here making none of this up. All of this that we've said today, you can Google the different topics that we talk, or even be careful on Google because they're controlling that. Right. I would use a VPN or something like that that's not controlled by the dominant, you know, people call it the dominant narrative that people are telling you. But it's obvious. You don't even have to look around. You can look into your own life. So we've given you some solutions here that we think that will help us, that are give us some hope for the future, because it's not just a doomsday. You just have to be aware of what's going on. And that's why we do the Business Building Blocks podcast, because what did the minister say? Business is the exercise of life, or
right. It's
business is exercise of life, and right. Every problem is a business opportunity. We see its problems right. Everywhere. So we need to align our mind with what the people need, and that will make us successful. That's all that we're trying to do with this podcast.
And I know it's time for us to wind down, but it's something you talked about when you talked about the end of the world. And I said something about the War of Armageddon. But it's only corrupt governments that's falling, and those tyrants, those corrupt leaders that's in place being removed. And you've seen that recently in West Africa and nations like Mali and Niger and Burkina Faso, these nations that expel France, and now their economies are booming. They just setting up a new government that'll be justified.
Say that again. We setting up a new government?
Based on freedom, justice, and equality. New leadership. So it's an end of a corrupt world and the beginning of a righteous world. A world is based on true freedom, justice, and equality. So it's not doom and gloom. It's the end of an old regime and a beginning of a whole new world and new reality. Well, it's going to be true freedom, justice, and equality that we implement. Those of us who want to implement a righteous and a just world, then we have to take on that leadership role. And these tyrants have to be set down. And a whole new system of fair governance has to be implemented.
What they say is, well, I'm gonna flip it around. What they used to say, it's not what your government could do for you, is what you could do for your nation, or they would say.
Yeah, that's not, what President Kennedy said. Ask not what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for your nation or your country.
Yeah. And I want to say that what we can do for ourselves, it's not what they're going to do for us, because we right. know right now they're not about to do anything for us. It's time for us to look within ourselves and within each other and see what we can do for ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah, it's that time.
We can only depend on God and ourselves, one another. And we can't depend on the people that put us in this condition and that's continued to exploit us. They're not going to save us. They have to continue to hate us and then blame us for our own condition. So it's us accepting responsibility for our own future and our own fate.
Absolutely. Any last words for the people in before we get out of here? I want to thank y'all for listening. And we want to tell them where to listen, where to follow us.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook. We Business Building Block on Facebook. We have a group and a page on Facebook. Join them both. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter. We Business Building Block. We're on Instagram, Business Building Block. And of course, we're on TikTok.
Follow us on TikTok before it's gone.
Now, YouTube, they had problems with us on YouTube. They have problems with censorship. So we're still working on that. But definitely, you can follow us on those social media platforms. And of course, Apple, yes. SoundCloud.
Yeah, if you made it to this point, that means you're a real listener. So we want y'all to go on whatever, you know, platform that you're listening to podcasts on and rate the podcast. Give us a rating. And that really helps push us to the forefront and help us rank in the different charts. And it helps the podcast grow. So if you like anything you heard today and you think more people should hear it, share it with your friends and make sure you rate the podcast. We want everybody to go do that right now that you're listening. Go into the app and rate us.
Cash.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you have?
Is $BBBBlocks.
Yeah. If you want to support the podcast and help with our production costs, that's $BBBblocks.
$BBBblocks.
Yes, sir. I don't know what's going on right there with the tick, with the okay. Live. So this was a great episode. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. And just keep on listening.
You got the blocks. Now get to building.
That's right. Take right, care.
Thanks. Goodbye. For listening.
Thank you.